It nourishes us, gives us life, but it also, it stabs us. Amen. And thank God. I thank God that I'm glad that I have a Heavenly Father that deals with me and that shows me where I'm wrong, when I'm wrong, and shows me how to be right. Amen. Bless His name. Shows me what's pleasing to Him. Thank God. Thank God. All you have to do is, listen, we follow the instructions of men easier and quicker than we do the instructions of God. We'll stop at stop signs, red lights. We'll clock in at 8 o'clock. If they say it's time to start at 8 o'clock, it won't be a second late. Most time we'll be early. Amen. And whatever they tell you to do, you'll do it to keep that job. But we take great advantage of God's grace. Take great advantage of God's grace and mercy. Amen. Thank God for the testimonies this morning. Psalm 22. What we're looking at is the expression of John 10 and 11. This is the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. That's what Psalm 22 is. Psalm 22 shows him as the good shepherd, freely giving his life for the sheep. Psalm 23 shows him as the great shepherd. Psalm 24 shows him as the chief shepherd that shall appear. And that's from 1 Peter 5:4. Here in Psalm 22, we'll read verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. That's as far as I'll read for sake of reading. You could read the entire psalm. In Psalm 22, and I want us to see him today as the good shepherd. Christ the good shepherd. Psalm 22 is one of the greatest prophecies of Christ, the Good Shepherd, that we have in the Old Testament. There's at least 33 prophecies in Psalm 22 alone that God gave unto David. Think about that. That's more than the verses that are in Psalm 22. There's 31 verses in Psalm 22, and there are at least 33 prophecies that God gave to him, and could be more, but at least 33. And looking at this, this psalm, It's a wonderful picture of the ministry and the work of Christ. The Holy Spirit, by inspiration, listen, by inspiration, gave this to the psalmist. It shows us Christ as the prophet and Christ as coming and dying on the cross. It shows his resurrection. And then it also shows his coming as the king. I mean, that's a perfect layout. Amen? I mean, that he would come, that he would die, that he would raise again, and then that he would come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in that order. That's inspiration, friend. Think about all of the inspiration that God gave to the men of God, holy men of God, as they spake. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that authored each word. Here in Psalm 22, these prophecies, no doubt, and we'll touch on some of them to bring out what it is that Christ did for us. I've thought much about his death here in the last few days. About he who died. You see, him as a person, who he was when he died, he was not just an ordinary man. And the world needs to see that Christ is not just an ordinary man. He's not just like you and me. He came to be like you and me. But he was God's only begotten Son. Amen? He was God's darling son, and we'll see that here in the scripture. And he was God himself in the flesh. Emmanuel. The Bible prophesied of him being Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Jesus preached much in his earthly ministry that he was the one that Moses, listen, spake of, that he would send a prophet like unto me of thy brethren, and he would declare God unto the people. What was it that our Lord did over and over? He said, I am he that came down from heaven. I declare the Father in heaven. No one knows him in heaven but he that came down from heaven. He came to declare the Father in heaven. That was his prophetic prophecy that Moses was given. Christ fulfilled it, being the prophet. Amen. Being the man. Being the sacrifice, but yet being God-man. Being the man of God and being God's man. Listen, you ain't never heard a man of God like Christ. Christ was the man of God, amen? I mean, he was the man of God prophesied, like John was prophesied, but Christ prophesied before, prophesied from the beginning, and prophesied that he would be God-man, God in the flesh. Christ, as we see him paying for sin, the horrors of Calvary. Look at these verses of Scripture. First, we want to look at the verse number 1 where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You see, our Lord on the Calvary that day, and this was a picture of his words on Calvary. You know, if you've read the books, when Christ was on the cross, that's when he cried, Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he said, why art thou so far from helping me? He felt like God was so far away from helping him, that God was not going to help him. He was on his own that day. He was the Lamb of God to be slain. Why art thou so far from helping me? Why? Because he must be sacrificed. And he must be slain. Are you listening? Like a little lamb. Could you imagine taking a lamb up to the altar to have it sacrificed? There it is, a lamb no blemish, a perfect little innocent lamb, soft, white, and clean, no scars, precious to look upon. And there it is, fixing to be cut, to bleed. Are you listening to me? Fixing to be killed, its life to drain out of it. Are you and to see those little eyes look up as to say, why aren't you helping me? It's because he's there for me and there for you. We brought him there. We cannot help him now. We cannot draw back now. He must be cut. He must be sacrificed. He must burn on the altar. Are you listening to me? That is his destiny. That is his part, amen, to pay for our sin, to take the judgment of my sin and your sin. Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my crying, as it cries out on Calvary, from the pain that he's experiencing, it's known as the orphan cry. My God, why art thou forsaken me? That word has a denotation of being orphaned. That's why they call it the orphan cry. Why art thou forsaken me? As if I have no father. That was his father. You see, he is Christ now. He is the Son of Man. He is, you have to remember that Christ, he is all God. But here on the cross now, he is being sacrificed and he is man. He cannot use his God power. They said, come down from the cross. He could have. He could have called 10,000 angels. But there would have been no redemption. No salvation. He could not. Listen, I say this with great reverence to our Lord. He could not petition the angels. He must suffer as the Lamb of God. He must have all of his bones come out of joint. Amen? He must shed his blood for you and I. There he is, and he cries, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, this is the daytime, nighttime that takes place. The daytime, nighttime that takes place. At midday, darkness covered the face of the earth, didn't it? Christ said, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Christ was in continual crying to the Father, there on the cross, praying the Father, crying to the Father. Let's see more of what he said. Blessed, but thou art holy, thou that inhabited the praises of Israel. And I've said this before. I've preached this here before. That prophecy of how God inhabits the praises of Israel.
So the Lord here, it seems, is quoting that verse, "Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel," as if Christ is praising the Father, looking for God's presence to come. Why? Because he is forsaken. He said, "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted. Thou didst deliver them. They trusted. They put their faith in you. And you came. You delivered them." But he goes on down and says, "But I am a worm." Remember, this is the darkness of Calvary. This is a forsaken lamb. This is when Christ is alone. He says, "But I am a worm." He is a babe. And he said, "I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men." A reproach of men. Despised of the people. Isaiah 53 says the same thing. He is despised. We esteemed him not. Despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief is what the Bible said. And so here he is. He said, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him." That's when men at the cross, this is what they were doing. They were laughing at him. They were shooting out the lip at him. In other words, words of mockery, words of cursing, words of debasement, words of hate and spite. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head to come by as he's dying on the cross for them. And as they come by smiling, wagging their heads, as to say, "What a fool. What a man to think he was God, that he was God's son. He trusted in God. Let him save him now." They'd never seen anybody come down from that cross. All that went there, die there. And that was in their mind and their wicked heart. He would die there just as well. And he would. But they don't know who he is. Are you listening? "All they that see me laugh me to scorn." They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. Can you imagine the torment of just that? Those that he reached out to, that he loved, sinners of every kind, coming by after he had done much, after he had loved much, and for them to shake the head and mock and scoff. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Even the word, seeing he delighted in him. They wanted him to feel as though God was spitting back. You delighted in God, but God is not here to help. You trusted in him, but he's not here to help. "But thou art he that took me out of the womb." Listen, Christ remembers his relationship with his Father. He gives not up on his faith. Remember, he is the lamb without sin. The man without sin. "Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast." Listen, this is his, he is the prophet that represents God to man. Are you listening? That's what a prophet is. A prophet is a man that represents God to man. And so God here is with him, even upon his mother's breast. "I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, He's still crying, for trouble is near. And this word trouble means adversary. Be not far from me. Adversary is near. It's not just the adversaries of men. It's not just them that came to shoot out the lip and shake the head and mock. But adversaries there now. Who's the great adversary of Christ? Satan himself, no doubt, is there at the cross. No doubt he tried to hinder him in the garden. No doubt he tried to hinder him as he carried the cross. No doubt he's trying to hinder him here on the cross. He is the adversary that does not give up. Trouble is near. When our Lord said, trouble is near, for there is none to help. Listen, he is going to face him again as he did when he was taken up by the Spirit into the wilderness to face Satan. You remember? He faced him with the Word of God 40 days and came down. Trouble's near again. And there's none to help. There is no angels, listen, to strengthen him like they did in the garden. There is none to strengthen him like they did at the transfiguration. There is none to strengthen him as they did in the wilderness to minister unto him. There's none to help. How many times did our Lord go through great spiritual transformation? And I've already said it. Angels were there to help, to strengthen. The Holy Spirit was there to strengthen. God was there to testify. This is my beloved Son. Wouldn't that have been something to heard that rung from Calvary right now? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. But none is there to help. Trouble is near. Many bulls of Bashan have beset me around. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan. Those are men with bullish nature. Bullish nature. They're there to tear men, to stomp men, to pound upon men. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Look what he said in verse 14. I am poured out like water. I am poured out. That means to expend his very life and soul. The very thing that's actually allows this body to walk upright and think. Our soul, our very life in us, if it were to leave us, this body would hit the ground. Do you know that? And so he's talking about, I am poured out. It's an intensive gushing out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. He's paying for sin. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, just like a piece of pottery. Not even a pot. The pot is broken. It's crushed. Like a potsherd, like a small piece of pottery with jagged edges that they would use to scrape boils with. Are you hearing me? He said, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. No doubt our Lord is out of sweat, dehydrated, out of strength. How's he there? How's he still alive? All that he faced before they got him to the cross, they beat him in such a manner that he didn't even look like a man. How is he still alive? He's the Lamb of God paying for our sin. Thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. Now look at this. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. These dogs are men of low morality. They're sodomites and male prostitutes. The wicked are the, and this is what I found in Strong's, good for nothing. That's how low they are. But they're there at Calvary mocking him. Mocking him. Men of low, the lowest moral, good for nothings, wagging at him, mocking him, spitting toward him. And I'll tell you what's more staggering than that is that he is dying for them. Dying for them. Dying for their sin, my sin, your sin, whosoever's sin, he's there. Hey, he's there as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the whole world. That's what makes him the Savior. None were disregarded, even the lowest. Even the lowest. Wonder if any one of them thought, could he be dying for me? Maybe they remembered the adulterous woman who was of low morality, whose life had been changed. Bible doesn't say that, but I think about these things sometimes. Maybe they thought of the man up there in the tomb, just demon possessed. Thousands of demons and nobody could do anything with him. But he's in his right mind. And he's telling them about the love of Christ. How Christ changed his life. And he's not the same anymore. They enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I've read something where it sounds like a good note, maybe. They had to crucify them some way, and that was the way they crucified them. Their hands and their feet. They say when they put it in their hands, that was the way of saying they were taking their strength away. Any time you spoke of the hand, especially the right hand, you spoke of strength. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. They may have crucified, they may have nailed his hands, but they didn't take his power from him. He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. They did not take his power from him. He's going to give up the ghost on his time. When the last sin is paid for, when the last dog comes by when the last wicked encloses round about him. They stare upon me. You'll find in the book of Matthew, when they gathered around the cross, the Bible said that they looked upon him there. Many were up there just sitting, watching, looking at him, at this event, at this man who they know healed the sick, raised the dead, walked on water, fed thousands with little, did many miracles. So many miracles, the books couldn't have been written to contain all that he did. And that was mostly done in the first part of his ministry. The part of his ministry, the years of popularity. But be not thou far from me. He's still praying. O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. I don't see, he's saying, I don't have no strength. You're my strength. Haste to help me. Deliver my soul. Here comes the resurrection. Listen, this is not the cross here. This is the resurrection. He's praying to be delivered from the power of death. And it's seen in verse 20 and 21. It's represented by the sword, the dog, and the lion. Deliver my soul from the sword. That's that, whatever it is, that can take your life. My darling, there it is. My one and only begotten. From the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. He's prayer to be saved from the power of death, not from death. From the power of death. Not that he's dying, but that death couldn't keep him down. He's going to get back up again. It's a pre-resurrection prayer, amen? God, don't let the sword hold me down, amen? Psalmist David prayed in one place the prophecy, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This is his resurrection. And then I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation while I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. That's him in paradise, I think. In the midst of the great congregation. Them that's waiting down there for him. He said he heard. We're getting out of here. Amen. He's not going to leave my soul in hell. He heard my prayer. He didn't leave me there on Calvary alone to die. Amen. He's coming. He's coming. I don't have time. I don't wore the strength. The last part, verse 26 through 31. Speaks of his coming kingdom.
Yes.
Son of Man came down from heaven, gave his life a ransom, was a prophet made like unto Moses. Died, was buried, rose again. Coming again. I love verse 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. Verse 31, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. He hath done this. Verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. King of kings, what that means. He's the governor of the nations. He's the king of all kings. Lord of lords. Amen. Bless his name. I want you to stand today.